Welcome to Faith Applied, a podcast brought to you by the Gospel Church in Nashville, Tennessee. This podcast seeks to encourage disciples of Jesus Christ to live out their faith for the glory of God. Join us as we talk about applying our faith in everyday life, developing a Christian worldview, and serving others around us. Now for today's episode. Hello and welcome to this month's episode of Faith Applied. My name is Trey Powell. I'm the pastor of Groups and Connection here at the Gospel Church, and I'm so thrilled to be doing this episode of Faith Applied today. One of the main goals that we had for Faith Applied when we first started this podcast was to help our church get to know our church planting partners better, to understand the work that they're doing, and to see how they can actively pray for and partner with our fellow believers all across the globe. So to that end, I'm excited to introduce to you all Juan Hernandez, the pastor of Rescue Mission Church in Barranquilla, Colombia. Juan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Trey, for having me here. And it's a real privilege for me to be able to share with all the church what is the Lord is doing over there in Colombia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for those of you who remember, towards the end of last year, we actually partnered with Juan and his church. They had, as everybody did in the world, they had some pretty serious effects of COVID in their area, especially financially. And so this was the church that we partnered with in Colombia to send finances to help continue their efforts there to minister to the people, through groceries, through seminary classes. And the Lord has really been blessing their work. So we're super grateful for that. Juan, is there anything you want to tell us about how the Lord kind of used that ministry?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thank you for being so generous. As you say, well, especially in Latin America, the COVID has been impacting not just the health, but also economic. So especially in our region, was the lockdown was very severe, didn't allow people to go back to work. According to the government numbers, around 65-70% of the people in Colombia work in informal jobs, so all those people were without any chance to get any money to provide food for their families. So when you send that aid, was amazing, because we were able to provide groceries not just for the families of our local church, but also for the families that were attending the seminary. So it was a huge bless, and I want you to know how you encouraged all the Christians over there by knowing that God didn't forsaken them, and they were using brothers in the United States to take care of their needs at the moment.
Well, bless the Lord. We are so grateful that we could do that with you. But now I'd love for our church, again, we're pleased to have some time tonight where we can gather and hear more about you. But for those that can't be with us tonight, why don't you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family?
Okay, well, I've been married for the last 17 years. My wife's name is Angie. She is a huge blessing in my life. We have two daughters, Sarita, she's 12, and Andrea, who is our adoptive daughter, she's 29 at this moment. Actually, she will be staying in the States for a couple of months serving another church in Georgia we are partnering with. We live in Barranquilla. Barranquilla is like the main city in our region. We are right there in the Caribbean, so these days for us has been like living in the freezer, because we are summer all year. We are always between 90-110 degrees all year, so we have enjoyed it, but at the same time we are like, oh my God, it's a reminder that we are people from the Caribbean. Which is great. Well, we are happy to be partnering with you guys. The opportunity to be here tonight, it's really exciting for us. Well, I don't know. What else would you like to know about our story?
Yeah, we'd love to hear maybe a little bit more of how you came to plant Rescue Mission Church and what that's looked like up until this point.
Okay, well, that's a long story, but I will try to go short sake of the listeners. Well, the Lord saved me 18 years ago. After we got married, we moved to Barranquilla, and we were attending the same church where the Lord saved me. And there we were serving, especially me, leading the youth group, until a time when, well, the church started getting involved with prosperity gospel doctrine really bad. So the pastor over there decides, well, he tells that the Lord has been guiding him to ministry only to rich people. Well, as you can tell, I didn't see that in my Bible, so I was unable to continue in that ministry. So we let the pastor know that I didn't agree with him. We were trying to see what the Lord asked us to do, but for the meantime, I would have to step aside of the ministry. Well, he didn't took it in a good way. We have to leave the church, not in the best way. But for the next 2 years, we were just preaching the gospel in the parks, trying to reach out people and to share the gospel, sending those people, where do you live? So, well, look for a church nearby where you live, and just be there. But in the meantime, we came to understand that the problem in our region was bigger than just the prosperity gospel movement. Because in Colombia, before 1991, the only legal religion allowed by the state was the Catholic Church. But in that year, there was a constitutional reformation that allows Christian churches to be legal and recognized by the government. They tried to do something good that was given a lot of freedom, financially speaking. But that became a huge opportunity that is still going for drug dealers to launder money. So over there, we as a church, we are not complied by the government to say who our donors are, and we can receive all the money in cash, and we can give the money to, hey, Trey, you look like you need help, so I will give you half of the money we received last Sunday. So that became a great opportunity for guerrilla people, also paramilitary groups and drug dealers to launder money over there. So I get to know that through a radio show that I was having at the time, and I received threats of death. They were like, you know, your wife is so young, will be sad that she became a widow if you keep speaking. So we were in the middle of this situation, like, oh my God, I don't know if I should continue preaching the gospel in the parks, because these people are going to those churches. Right. They look like they are safer in the streets, but in the church. So this calling of boredom start growing in my heart, like shepherd them. Mm-hmm. You go and shepherd. That's another story related how the Lord saved me. Right. But at the time it was like, okay, I don't want to do it, but I felt really the Lord was calling me. And that's how I got involved in ministry. So like 6 months after that, we decided to plant a church. I was 11 years ago. And well, here we are by God's faithfulness.
Wow. So if I heard the story correctly, you're involved in a church and you feel as though the prosperity gospel has been seeping in, and you kind of step away from that church and you're beginning to see that the church in Colombia has larger issues than just prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. We've got drug lords who have infiltrated the church kind of in a shady way for money laundering, and you're also receiving death threats. So what throughout all of this is keeping you going and giving you hope and allowing you to see that the Lord is still calling you to this? What grounded you in that calling?
Well, still, I would have to go back a little bit to how the Lord saved me. I was 26 when the Lord saved me. Well, I was really involved in deeply back spiritual stuff. So I used to see demons all around since I was very little. And I was practicing New Age as a religion. So I was totally convinced that I have lived like 1,000 lives, that I was like a superior master spirit, something like that. Every time that I tried to get in touch with something spiritual about Christ or the church, some demon came to my bedroom. I see them yelling at me and actually hitting me. The people I used to practice that things with, they told me that that was a way they were like correcting me, because I wasn't supposed to be looking for things in Christianity, because that was for young spirits. So I was totally convinced of that, and I actually hate every Christian in earth. Actually, at the place I was working as a manager, I forbid to hire Christian people, because I really hate them. I couldn't tolerate them. So, well, the Lord has his ways, and even I was hating the Christians, the Lord saved me in a way that I couldn't say that it was something in my part. Well, we know always the Lord is the one saving. But I've seen too many people that I decide to go to the church and I listen to the sermon and I was like studying, but that wasn't my case. I was like threatened, taken by the Lord and going to the church against my will. And he saved me immediately. He changed my life. So I felt so in depth with Christ. Well, I say I want to serve you, but I didn't mean to serve him as a pastor. But but just remembering where I was, who I was, and everything that he has given me in Christ, just keeping me like, okay, whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. So what a wonderful story of transformation in your own life, and the power of the gospel mm-hmm. to really change you and turn your life a complete 180. As you said, I love you, Lord. I want to do whatever. And you had no idea that meant being a pastor of a church.
Nope.
But the Lord bringing you to that, that's just a beautiful picture of the gospel. I'd love to hear maybe how you've seen the gospel transform other lives as you've been pastoring and working, particularly at Rescue Mission Church. What has that looked like?
Okay, great. Well, we planted the church 11 years ago. At the beginning, we were, I think, blind spot, because I was not up for money. I was not up for power, because I have big chances to earn good money out of the church. But I felt compelled to devote my life totally in full time to the ministry since the very beginning. So at those first months, I used to work as a waiter in a small restaurant. They didn't give me money. They just gave me the lunch and the dinner for my family. But I was totally convinced that the Lord was calling me to be fully deeply into ministry. But that thing, which was great, at the same time became like the impossibility to see that we were focusing in a gospel more related to good works on my behalf than the work of Jesus in the cross. So it looks like more like a moralistic gospel, like Jesus went to the cross to forgive all your sins, but now it's up to you.
Right.
So it looks more like Jesus did the down payment, and now you have to cover the rest of the credit. We were like that, trying to honor Jesus, but not a center gospel church.
Sure.
And at that time, like 3 years and a half after that, the Lord used this young man. I think he was like 21, 22 at the time, which is a good reminder for those young people listening that never underestimate at your age. The Lord can use you. He came to me. He said, like, Juan, I believe that you might be preaching something wrong. So why don't you take a look of this video? I think this is really good for you to see it. But he came to me very humble and caring and tenderness. So I felt compelled for the way he approached to me. But at the same time, I was like, well, I can't be doing something bad, because I'm not a preaching about money. I don't want to be powerful here. I just want to honor Christ. I left a lot of things for just to serve him. So, well, I just will take a look of the video, just because of the way this young man came to me. Mm. And when I take a look of the video, I didn't like what I saw. because if the preacher was right, then I was wrong.
Right.
So I take another look of the video and start comparing what he was teaching to the Bible, the whole text. That I think that's one of the biggest challenge that we have over there in Latin America, especially in my region. this, I don't know how to say it in English, like verse theology. Yeah, people is not reading the whole text, but only one okay. single verse. So
right.
they are making
They'll
theology.
Take a verse out of context.
Yes. So mm-hmm. all the theology they have is like one verse here, another verse over there, but right. totally out of the context.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah, I Whatever. Will go to the moon, you know, in the next right. rocket. So stuff like that. Well, I got convicted by the Holy Spirit that I was grown, that my sermons were not totally focused on what the gospel is. And I went to Galatians chapter 1, and I felt like, well, there is no big difference between me and what those guys are doing, because, yes, I have good intentions, but good intentions are not good enough. I have to preach the gospel. So I, along with my wife, we were praying, and I started addressing the leaders in the church and letting them know that I mistake what I was preaching. So I asked for forgiveness from them, share with them the decision of, okay, we're going to do the things according to what the Bible is showing there. And thanks God they agreed. Right. Well, we started this reformation process inside the church that took us a little while. Later, we realized, okay, we need help, because in our region at the time, there was no possibility of receiving any kind of training. So we started looking for help. We need some pastor that might be rooted in sound doctrine to help us out. So we got in contact with one ministry in the United States, and that ministry led us to a pastor in Barranquilla. So we got in contact. I shared with him the story, the need we were at the time. Yes, he said yes. So I communicate to the church, you know, we found this pastor. He seems like want to help us out, and he has all the credentials. So the church was really excited about it. But after a few weeks, this pastor started like requesting for us, like, you know, you have to take the drums away from the church. In the worship, people should not be showing any emotion at all. And you have to put in front of the building some billboard who says we are Calvinist. And we felt like that was not the path to follow. So right. especially because we are in the Caribbean, and I don't know how much you know about that, the people there. I'm not from there. But those people, when they are 1 month old, they are dancing already. So
okay,
if you want them to look like if they were born in Germany, or that's not going to be easy to do.
Sure.
Especially, we didn't see that was a request in the Bible. So
right.
we say, no, I don't think that's the way. But this pastor decide to skip us, and he started addressing the leaders using the confidence that we show him,
sure.
the trust that we show him. Finally, he divided the church. He took some people out to his church. Among those people were one of my biological brothers, the youngest one. So it was a huge mess over there that led us to a place like, okay, we don't want to be working with anybody else. So let's just be faithful to the scriptures. Let's study, and let's go to a slowest path, lowest space. Is that the word correct? And a slower pace.
A slower pace, yeah.
Yeah, slower pace. Well, that was going well. I think we got to a good doctrinal position, and the church was growing, both spiritually and in numbers as well. But we were with this burden, like, okay, we have the opportunity to have this young man who came to us, but that's not the case of everybody. Even though we have the knowledge that there are wolves pastoring churches,
right.
not all of them are wolves. There are some of them that are just people like us who love Jesus, but they didn't receive any kind of training, and they might be preaching something bad, but because they don't know better.
Right.
So how are they going to change if nobody come to them and teach them what they are supposed to teach? So we start praying time of we were praying for 2 years every single morning between Mondays and Saturdays at 4 a.m. We were four men just praying. We make a cell phone conference, and our only request was, Lord, please bring a ministry to train people here in our region, because there is not. So we were praying for that for 2 years. Nothing happened. Nobody show up. So we start praying, okay, what if we would try ourselves? So right. We decide to go, praying for 6 months, maybe. Maybe, Lord, would you be willing to use us if we decide to start something here? And after 6 months, we decide to do it. So our move was like, okay, let's do something with the church, like a test, to see if it's good or not. So I designed a small course of church history, God's attributes. People in the church start joining the classes, and they were learning and they were enjoying it. So we decided to go public, offering for the city. So at the very beginning, we decided to go free, because one of the troubles that we have there is that almost every churches are charging for everything. So we came to know people that have been attending church for 3-4 years, and they haven't had the chance to be baptized because they don't have the money to pay for the course that they have for baptized. And if they finish the course, they don't have the money to pay for the baptize itself. That is, it turns out to be another business of tourism, taking people to the beach to baptize over there. But it was very, very expensive.
Right.
So we decided to go for free. Well, we put this ugly, nasty PowerPoint advertisement. And I can say that because I did it. I designed it. And it was something like, do you want to study theology? Come, it's free. That was it.
Right.
And we put it right there in our social media, which at the time has, I don't know, 70, 80 followers. That means us in the church. And we were expecting to have between 30, 40 people interested in study with us. But 1 week after that, we have 120 people that was signed to be part of the classes. And we were scared, like, now what are we going to do with all these people? And in every way, because we were not just unprepared to teach them to all of them, but also financially speaking, we decided to go free, but we were expecting 30, 40, and now we have 120. So that will be highly, we will be needing more money than we were expecting. But, okay, we were praying, and we decided to go. With that idea, and the Lord has been so faithful. The seminary started almost 2 years and a half, or something 3 years, and so far we now have 375 students coming to the place to study a panoramic view of the Bible, the 66 books, with an emphasis in biblical theology. Online that we decided to go because people were asking for it. We have 650 students as well.
Wow.
So we have at this time more than 1,000 students, people in Africa, in Europe, in the United States as well, Central America, South America, studying with us, all for free. And we have been seeing a lot of changes. So I'm very thankful and grateful with the Lord because He has been willing to use us and allow us to see what He's doing over there, how people is eager. The Holy Spirit is awakening His people over there to get away from those false doctrines. Mm-hmm. And they are eager to learn more and to listen more about the gospel. So it's amazing. Every single class, every single conference we set up, when some of the pastors we work at the churches here visit, they are going to teach about the inerrancy of the scripture is totally crowded.
Right.
It's totally amazing to see because there are people, some of them live 1 hour, 45 minutes away from us, and they have no car, but they take a bus or two buses to go there, and they stay until 9:30 p.m., and then they will be arriving their houses at midnight. The other day they have to work, but they want to be there. and they are making huge sacrifices, economically speaking, to be there. So we are just amazed to see what the Lord is doing there.
Yeah, bless the Lord. It's really cool to hear your humility and the humility of those who you're pastoring with, coupled with your trust in the Lord, and how the Lord has used both of those attributes to really bless your ministry. So your humility to listen to this young man and say, he's right. There's something that we need to change about our ministry because we're focusing more on what we can do than on what Christ has done. And how that humility, and then you come to your church and you humbly ask for their forgiveness, and you continue to humble yourself by saying, Lord, we need these things, but it's only going to happen by you. You're praying for 2 years, asking the Lord to provide, not trusting in your own strength. And it's just amazing to see how the Lord has taken that and provided for those things that y'all were asking for.
Yeah, praise be the Lord for that.
Absolutely. And I think it's even cool. Sometimes this is frustrating in my own Christian walk. We'll be praying for things, and the Lord is really looking at us and saying, the thing you're praying for is what I want you to do. And I think it's funny how y'all prayed for 2 years asking the Lord to bring something. And really what the Lord was doing was he was saying, I want you, and I want your leaders to be the ones that lead out in this. And I'm just so grateful that y'all stepped out in obedience and really brought that, because it seems like the Lord is blessing your ministry immensely.
Yeah, praise be the Lord, because, well, we have been able to see a lot of things happening there. Even it is something that is very encouraging for us, and I hope is for you guys here, is like even the hard parts of everything, the Lord is using it, because by the way this young man came to me, we have been able to, okay, we won't be giving these classes, try to fish in another, I don't know what the word is in English, but, you know, to bring people to our church.
Right.
So usually after 3 or 4 weeks of classes, we have people starting attending to our services on Sunday, and we call them, what are you doing here? We'll say, well, I want to come here because you are preaching the truth, and so I want to be part of this church. But we always tell them, no, we're going to meet with you, and we share with them the story of what happened to us, of the video, so you can be the young man to your church. So please love your pastors. I know they are not preaching what is supposed, but try, give time to the Lord so you can tell if a true pastor that really loves Jesus, and he has no understanding like we were a couple of years ago, or if you are in front of somebody who really is not Christian, well, that's another deal. But go and be patient and loving, and maybe you can be the one that the Lord used. And also the situation with the pastor who divide the church, we don't want that to happen. So we also share with them the story. So I think the Lord used that, the painful and really dark time for us, right, as a church and as a family, to prevent that. So we are always taking care. Every single class we are telling, please don't go next Sunday to your church and say to the pastor, you don't know anything, or right, something like that. Please don't start addressing people in your church like, you know, the pastor is preaching bad because this and that. But just follow the example of what we see in the scriptures. Yeah, be bold to share the truth, but also be loving. Because of that, we have seen churches changing. Actually, one of the pastors who were attending the seminary was really involved in prosperity gospel theology. And now they are Acts 29 Church, which is amazing, because that means that they are come to a deeply understanding of reformed doctrine, sound doctrine. So that's our goal. And we believe this is a 2 decades project. So we are just at the very beginning. We are just like in 12% of the goal.
Right.
But the Lord has been so faithful. So please pray for that. But to continue believing that the Lord is going to do some change over there.
Absolutely. And again, that thought almost continues the thread of humility that I've seen you reference over and over again, this humility that says, even though we found maybe a true way to represent Christ, we never want to come off as we're right and you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the people who we are teaching and training to go back and cause any sort of division in the church. We want them to care well for their church and lovingly help model the way that Christ has called us to live. And so I just love and appreciate your humility and your sensitivity in that. But with that, you said kind of this is a two-decade project or something that you see. I think you're talking about the seminary there that you mm-hmm. really want to see the Lord bless. But take us to just this year or 2 years from now. How are you praying, or what are you wanting the Lord to do within your midst? What is Rescue Mission Church really trying to be about for the next
well,
2 years?
Well, thank you for the question. Well, as a church, we are totally involved in planting churches. So right now, last year we started a church planting in a town that is 40 minutes away from our city. It's called Puerto Colombia. Because of COVID, everything was like, oh. But, well, the little church planting survived. Last week we have our first 3 members over there, which we are very, very happy. Because now we can tell, okay, we have real Christians committed over here, over there. So we're very excited. And by June, we are hoping to plant another church in a town that is 1 hour away. It's called Santo Tomas. We want to go there because it's a very Catholic place. Even if you go through internet, you might find that during Easter week, they got guys over there who actually cut themselves and some of them crucified. The government has forbid that, but they usually use real nails and everything over there. So this wow. Catholic, but very, very rooted. So that's why we want to go there, because it's very a difficult place that as a church planting. Well, at the seminary, which became not just like something aside the church, but a ministry of the church. So the whole church is involved. We have volunteers belonging to our church to open the doors, who set up the chairs and take care of the students and everything. The next 2 years, we are hoping to have our first promotion of the new program that we start last October. This is the pastoral training program. We have 24 men over there. 6 from our church, and another 18 are from different local churches. They all have their pastors permission, if the words can be used, to be there. And we hope that from those 24, at least 6, they are thinking about planting a church. So that's quite amazing. We are fully committed with that, to see new 6 churches planting in our city, which will be such a bless. So that's something we are very excited. And the other part is that we were requested by our landlord. I always forget that word. To give the building where we gathering and having the seminary back. The contract will be ending in November. So now we have to move even to a bigger place, because we have now, we make a calling to see if more people want to come and study with us. And we have 221 new applicants waiting for a space to be in the classes on the place. So this new building we are hoping to build, because the idea is to rent like an old place and make the two stories building where we can have the sanctuary, more classrooms, so we can be able to continue the Bible classes, the pastoral classes. Also, we are launching biblical counseling program that is going to be 1.5 years, and we have 80 people sign up for that wow. program already. And other process that is going to be expository preaching, which is going to be great as well. I hope so. So in the middle of that, we will be needing more space. But one of the things that I have in my heart, along with another brother over there, is the rural pastors. Because the towns that are at least 2 hours away from us are towns that have electricity 3 hours per day, water two times per week. They have no internet access at all. And usually those churches are planted by people who once they heard the gospel, and the guy who was passing there by sharing the gospel didn't come back. So, I don't know, 8 people believe the gospel, and now they say, okay, who want to be the pastor? I want to. Okay, you are the pastor. They are doing the best they can, but they have no training at all. So the idea is to build in this new place at least 3 bedrooms with kitchen and bathroom, because we could host it in our houses, but because of the culture or how they live in those places, they will feel very uncomfortable. So we believe will be more damage for them than good. The other thing is that if we say, okay, let's bring one of them for 1 year to be like an intern, maybe they won't come back to the place after they're living in the city for 1 year. So the idea is to bring them once per month for 2 or 3 days to just be with us, receiving training, giving a tablet loaded with videos, because they are not very good at reading. So the teaching with them is a little challenging, because some of them read barely. So it's a lot of videos with them. So they can go back, study, put in practice what they learn, and come back the next month. So I'm very excited to see what's going on. And the other brother I tell you about, he is willing to travel to all those towns and just searching for those guys and letting them know that we are willing to pay for the transportation and that we have a place to host them. And all that we want is just to serve them. So I'm very excited to see what the Lord will do with those guys.
Absolutely. And again, just I love your mission and vision to plant other churches, right? Talking about in the next 2 years, you have 6 people who are passionate about planting their own churches. You're talking about helping these rural churches and these rural pastors who are, like you said, they are being faithful and they are doing the best that they can, but you really want to equip them to better serve and shepherd and care for their people. And then you're talking about just providing even within the city, right? Seminary classes on biblical counseling, expository preaching. It sounds like you're really trying to do Ephesians 4 and equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so we're just super excited for what the Lord is doing in your midst and how he is working not only in you, but in the midst of your church and your fellow pastors. So kind of with all that being said, what are ways that we as a church can be praying for you over the course of the next 4 years? Obviously, we know those things that you're doing, but what are some specific areas we can be praying for?
Okay, one of the things, please pray for us for keep being humble, because with knowledge or usually or easily come pride. We want to remember all the time that it's up to the Lord, that everything we know it by grace. So we don't start feeling like, okay, we are the guys teaching here, and that will be terrible, not just for us, but also for the ministry and the things has been achieved through this seminary. Especially me, I tend to be always too many times focused on there is too much work to do that I usually tend to forget that Jesus didn't went to the cross to make me a pastor, but to make me his child. So I always have to come back to that. So if you want to pray for me, that will be my request, because absolutely, I find myself very easily going not to the throne of grace of my father, but to the throne of but the office of grace of my boss. And that's awkward. And that's not what the gospel is about. So I always reminded myself, okay, this is not about just like a mission report, which is great, and we are supposed to do that. But I struggle with that, because as I've been sharing, there is a lot of things to do over there. So, and I'm very excited, but I usually have to come back like, okay, let's stop and let's remember that first of all, the idea of all this thing is that more people come to be his children. And actually I'm one of them. So that's something you can pray for me. That will be great. Also pray for finances. Because, well, before COVID was difficult, but after COVID it's really hard.
Right.
For example, the project of the new building, we have two options. We could go and rent, find a place big enough and with all the things we need, the sanctuary and the classrooms and the bedrooms and everything. And that would be around $6,000, between $5,500 or $6,000 per month, which is too much and totally out of our budget. The other possibility is to find an old place and we can build what we need. And that would cost us around $80,000. But the rent would be between $1,500 or $2,000, which is a little bit more than we are paying now, but it's more possible for us to pay that rent. And the idea is to make a contract for 12 years. So in 2 years, we will be already recovering the $80,000 that we will be investing at the beginning. And we continue 10 years more with a low rent. So sure. Right now we are half of the path. The Lord has been so faithful in the last month. From three places, we received $40,000. And now we are praying for the other half so we can able to start building by June. That's the idea. So at the end of October, we can be moving over there and start continue with what we're doing now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Juan, I appreciate you being with us and sharing your story with us again. For those at the Gospel Church, one of the things that we are passionate about in our current Advance initiative is to find church planting partners on every continent. And we are just so impressed with Juan and the work that he has been doing and the work of Rescue Mission Church. And we are hopeful that Juan and Rescue Mission Church can be kind of our South American partner. And so that's why we brought Juan in. That's why we want you to hear what is happening in Juan's church. And that's why we want you to know what to pray for, because we really feel passionate about what the Lord is doing. And hopefully you can hear from his story just all the ways that the Lord is blessing their church and their ministry right now. And we pray that would continue.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Juan, again, thanks for being here. We'd love to pray for you, sure. And we'd love it. Also, if you'd pray for our church for some of the same things that you were asking for, that we would remain humble in our ministry, that we would continue to seek the Lord and what he would have next for us, and that we would know how to best re-engage and serve our community, especially as we're coming out of this season of COVID. I've got both fingers crossed. I'm knocking on wood. I'm praying that the Lord is bringing us out of this season. And when we do, I want us to be ready to engage our community with the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And really apply our faith. So why don't we do this? Will you pray for our church? And will you actually pray for us in Spanish?
Okay, my privilege.
You don't have to translate. Just pray for us in Spanish. The Lord knows. And some of our listeners know Spanish, so they'll be keyed into that. And then I'll close in prayer for us.
Okay, that will be awesome. Thank you. Padre Celestial, yo te doy gracias y pongo delante de ti a mis hermanos, Señor, aquí en Nashville, pidiéndote, Señor, que les uses y que permitas que ellos puedan creer, Señor, en sus corazones como nosotros en algún momento lo hicimos, que tú estás más que dispuesto a usarles en medio de esta comunidad, en este lugar donde les has plantado. Yo pido por cada uno de los líderes, Señor, para que te busquen, Señor, en su intimidad, para que puedan crecer, Señor, en conocimiento de tu palabra, Dios, y en un deseo de ver que tu nombre sea exaltado, no solamente en el área en donde los tienes plantados, sino alrededor, Señor, del mundo, con el deseo que has puesto en sus corazones de tener compañerismo, Señor, con iglesias en todos los continentes. Oro, Señor, porque generes y traigas, Señor, esta hambre por tu palabra, Dios, que estás en el cielo, en esta iglesia, Dios, en cada persona que se acerca a este lugar, pidiéndote, Señor, que vivan una vida, Señor, para ti, con el deseo de ver tu nombre honrado y glorificado. Te pido en el nombre de Jesús que continúes bendiciéndoles, Señor, en cada aspecto, en sus matrimonios, en la crianza de sus hijos, para que podamos ver si tú no has regresado, Señor Jesús, una generación que se levante y siga llevando adelante la tarea del Evangelio. Te lo pedimos en tu santo nombre, Señor. Amén y amén.
Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Juan. Thank you for Rescue Mission Church and the work that you are doing through them. Lord, for all the things he asks about, Lord, I pray that you would continue to keep them humble and dependent upon you, understanding that you are the true vine, and it is only when they abide in you that they will be able to see the fruit that they are seeking. I pray that you would continue to bless the works of their hands, and as they do so, would they not puff themselves up with pride, but would they glorify your name for all the good things that you are doing. Lord, we pray that you would just bless their ministry with the seminary, Lord, that they would have wisdom and discernment to know what courses to offer and how to structure those courses, and that the people of Barranquilla and around the world who have already come to be a part of these seminary classes would be blessed, not only with greater knowledge of you, but a greater depth of relationship and dependence upon you, and love for you, and a greater understanding of their identity as sons and daughters of the King. Lord, I pray that you would bless their ministry to these rural pastors and rural churches, that they would be able to continue to spread the gospel, not only in the city of Barranquilla, but in the surrounding community. Lord, and I pray that you would bless them with the finances that they need in order to continue the good works that you have prepared beforehand for them. Lord, please continue to bless Juan. Keep he and his family safe as they are traveling. Bless his marriage. Bless him as he seeks to raise his children and his adoptive children in the way in which they should go. Lord, and I pray that you would just continue to reveal to Juan your goodness and your grace and your mercy in his life, so that he could, in response, offer his life as a living sacrifice. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Gospel Church, I hope you've enjoyed this. We will have Juan's information, the information for Rescue Mission Church, and how you can follow them on social media and all of that available in the show notes. I hope this has encouraged you. I hope this has shown you the work of the Lord internationally and across the globe. God is doing big things, and we are so grateful to be able to see it. Gospel Church, we love you. You are loved and you are sent. Have a great day.